Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
We give thanks to God. Praise God. Without much ado, tonight, can I invite Pastor Olusola Omoogitan?
Who has been away for some weeks? Pastor, you're welcome. Mommy, welcome Mommy too. Back to PGT. And I want to appreciate Pastor Bello for this privilege and this opportunity to bring God's word to us this evening. Mommy Bello, thank you too. You're welcome, ma. Welcome everybody in the house, all the heads of the department and every member. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you this evening. Thank you for what you are doing in our midst. Thank you for the light of your word. Thank you for the things you are teaching us. Thank you for your grace that is finding expression in teachings, in preachings, in prophesying, in exhortation, and in many other diverse expressions of your grace in our lives. Receive our thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. This evening we have come to receive of you. We ask that you will cause your light to shine upon us this evening in the name of Jesus. Grant us insight and understanding into your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. All right, this evening by way of exhortation and by way of teaching, the last time I was teaching, I taught us along a particular line, and let me just maybe I can wrap up and some of the things I was trying to say then, just conclude it if I can. I mean, if it can be conclusive. I'm not sure. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We began to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul talking about love. KJV used the word charity. You know, but charity here is agape. Not charity organization, not NGO. It is love, God's love, the kind of love that is peculiar to God. The Bible says that God is love. I think one of the things that, you know, you can't just use one word to just describe God like that and say God is this. But, you know, when Apostle John, I think, was going to, as though he wanted to summarize God, he said, God is love. God is love. So that if you, no matter how you describe God, no matter what expression or how you talk about God, if you take that aspect of love out of it, you know, you have made light of God. The real essence of God is what has been taken away. And that is why if there is anything we are supposed to really give utmost attention to is really, really this matter of love. Because if, when we walk in love, it's as good as if we are walking in perfection. Walking in love is as good. Saying that we are walking in love is as good as saying that we are walking in perfection. Because God himself is love. So when God is love, then it means that when we walk in love, when we are sons of love, it also means that we are truly sons of God. and we are walking in perfection. So we are supposed to give attention to the issue of love, and that is why from verse 8, Paul began to exhort, you know, he said, charity, which is love, never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly. But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. That is, the greatest of these is love. Now, and we have seen, you know, some people have used this scripture, particularly verse 8, to say that tongues are that the times of tongues are past. There are people that have used this scripture to say that the times of tongues are past. But it's not correct. He didn't say that we don't need tongues again. He said, but a time is going to come. He said, if there are prophecies, they will fail. Tongues will cease. Knowledge will vanish away. Because we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. But now, it is. He didn't say it has been done away. He said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is imperfect or that which is in part shall be done away. That is still something he put in the future. So, as at this, the question we ask ourselves is that, are we, that which is perfect, has it truly come? And we are trying to unravel and saying, what is Paul the Apostle really talking about here? And he talked about two things to describe our present condition now. Despite our prophecies, despite our knowings now, he said, verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, meaning not clearly, you know, an indistinct vision. Our vision right now is darkly, it is not perfect. Therefore, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. So these are ways he used to describe what he was calling that perfect state. Hallelujah. This is his own description of what he called that perfect state, because he said, now, describing our imperfect state now, of being a time of sin darkly, and then being a part of actually knowing in part. So when the perfect state is come, it means that we will no longer see darkly, we will see distinctly and with clarity of vision, and then we also, and that is what we describe, he called it face to face. That in that perfect state, we are going to see face to face, and then he also says that we are going to know even as we also we are known. Hallelujah. That is, there is a way God, there is a knowledge of God of me. There is a way God comprehends me. There is a way God knows all things that we do not know. Hallelujah. And the essence of our Christianity is actually to come into terms with God's, how do I put it now? We look at Philippians chapter 3, where Paul said, my striving is that I may apprehend that for which Christ has also apprehended of me. That is the summary of Christianity. That is why we come to church, why we learn, why we pray, why we fast, why we hear God's word, is that there is a reality that God, as far as us is concerned, has concluded that we are striving to come into the same reality. Amen. So when God looks at me, or when God looks at me, there is an understanding of God concerning us that we don't have, and we have not come into the reality of the thing. So Paul said, I am striving, I am pressing, that I may lay hold on that which Christ has already apprehended of me. That there is a maturity, there is a kind of man that Christ has already concluded me to be, that I have not yet arrived there. So I am striving to come to that same position. And that is the essence of the old, that is our Christianity. If we don't come to that place, we have not achieved the full intention and agenda of God for us. Amen. So, like I said then, that what I'm presenting to us is what I saw, that I also feel that we can consider and look into this. Amen. So God, and now I don't want to go back too much, but we have said sometimes it's good for us to actually remind ourselves of a whole lot of things. And now don't forget that this teaching in a way is a continuation of the series of teaching on oracle that I took. And we looked at, then we saw the oracle, God describing Moses, seeing him face to face, and we said that that talks about direct communication with God, and God speaking to Moses in such a way that Moses can comprehend and understand. Hallelujah. And we saw that in a way that dimension is higher than the prophetic dimension that other people like Aaron operated in. Because God told him in Numbers chapter 12, he said, if there is a prophet among you, I will speak to him in visions. I will come to him in dreams. He said, but my servant Moses is not so. Amen. So my servant Moses is not so. I speak to him face to face. I speak to him face to face. And then we're able to establish. I hope we understand this thing really, because I see somebody saying something and I just don't know me that people have not really understood this thing. That the fact that God said Moses, he spoke with God face to face, does not mean that Moses actually saw the face of God. We've said that, and maybe we should say it over and over again, that Moses communicated with God face to face did not mean that Moses saw God's face. Because God told Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he said, no man will see my face and live. So, but I will show you my back part. And God showed him his back part, but his face he hid from him. Hallelujah. But that Moses spoke to God face to face meant that God did not use any intermediary between himself and Moses. God will speak to Moses. Moses will speak to Aaron. But as far as Moses is concerned, there was no medium between the two of them. It was a free communication. God could communicate to Moses without anybody standing between. And God spoke to him in clear expression. Moses was able to understand God's mind clarity. The words of God were not in dark speeches. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So we are now saying that what God is bringing to us in the New Testament and in the fullness agenda of God for us is that we can come into that reality not in the dimension at which Moses operated. Amen. Not in the same dimension that Moses operated, but much more higher than Moses operated, because in the New Testament the face of God has been prepared for us to see. That is why he said in that perfect state we are going to see face to face, and we are going to know as we are known. Hallelujah. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Having said that, Hebrews chapter 4, let's look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hallelujah. Now, this scripture is very instructive. He said, as far as God is concerned, nothing is hidden from God. He said, neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That is, in the sight of God, everything is bare. Everything is open. You can't hide anything from God. Hallelujah. Nothing can be hidden from him. There is no hiding place. As far as God is concerned, there is no hiding place. He can see into the deepest thoughts of our heart. He sees into our motives, he sees into our purposes, he sees into our thoughts. He knows all things, not just about us alone, even about angels. Or he said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. And all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And we said it then that if God says, now, get this, that if God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that a time is going to come that we are going to know as we are known. Hello? That a time is coming that we are going to know as we are known. It means that what makes God to see, we also must have. Hallelujah. Let me come again. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now this is a high level of knowing. He said, then shall I know, even as I also am known. Meaning that we are, as God's knowing of me, God is going to bring us into a capacity where we can have access to knowledge as he also has access. He said, I am going to know as also I am known. That is a high level of knowing. Now, there's nothing about you that God doesn't know. Amen. We know that nothing catches God by surprise. God cannot be surprised. The Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Is that not true? The Bible says he knows the end from what? From the beginning. So if the scripture says that we are going to know as we also are known, it means that God must equip us to see as he sees. Amen. And I said it then, I said, the reason why we don't see at God's level of seeing is because of the apparatus that we are using. And I remember we looked at, you know, I think it was somebody that said, now, we use bricks and we use blocks to make houses, we use wood, things that, you know, normal our level of light can't pass through. Now, if you can imagine if our eyes are upgraded such that we can see through walls. Do you think we will continue to use block as partitions? We won't. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. We won't use block as partitions again. Because what is the effect of using block as partition? Where my eyes can see through. So the barriers we create is because we know the level of our perception. Do you understand what we are saying? And I remember we talked about the issue of tsunami. You know, how animals could pick the frequency of that, ocean surge. And, you know, some of them were able to, you know, run for their... And human beings, because of the level of our hearing, nobody was aware of anything. Till everybody was destroyed. So what we are saying is that God's agenda for us is that he wants to bring us that if we are going to come into this reality, then it means that God is going to equip us to be able to see as he sees. And we know that God sees through his eyes. Is there in Hebrews 4? He said, all things are naked and open to the eyes. All things are naked and open to the eyes with whom we have to see. Not to my eyes, not to the eyes of a prophet, but to God. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Then we go to Revelation chapter 4. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. What we are trying to describe in essence, we are trying to talk about what Paul meant by when the prophet is come. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seat I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Hallelujah. He says there are 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The lamb was having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, we saw in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says that there were 7 lamps of burning. I mean, 7 lamps burning before the throne. What were those 7 lamps? He called them the what? The 7 spirits of God. And now when we got to Revelation chapter 5, we now saw a lamb as it had been slain, which had 7 horns and 7 eyes. And then he now says that those 7 horns and eyes are actually the 7 what? Spirits of God. So meaning that when the Bible talks about the eyes of God, it's actually talking about spirits. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So when the Bible says that not everything is naked and bare before the eyes of God, it means that before those 7 spirits, before those 7 lamps, those things are God's instruments for sin. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. That the eyes of God are those 7 spirits. And that is why those 7 spirits are standing before the throne. They are the eyes of God. Now, what is interesting about it is that the Lamb had the 7 horns and eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God. It was not as if God lost his height, meaning that the height that God had also what? Had. Hallelujah. They were not different spirits. It's not different spirit. It's not that. Now, I remember I said this. I said, now there is the Holy Ghost and there is my spirit. They are 2 different things. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Sometimes we just assume that everybody in our midst can understand what we are talking about. Sometimes it's good to just, some people are just learning scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8, 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit, look at it. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Do you see that? The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of what? Of God. So there is a testimony of my spirit that says I am a child of God. The Holy Ghost comes to corroborate it. The Holy Ghost is not even the first witness. He said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with. So the Holy Ghost is a joint testimony. So the testimony the Holy Ghost is bringing is actually confirming and establishing the testimony of my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have my human spirit. So there is the spirit of God. Now, why I said this is to show that. So when the Bible talks about the Lamb, that having the seven spirit of God, it wasn't just talking about, you know, just another kind of spirit or something. He was actually talking about the seven spirit of God. So that Lamb was endowed. That Lamb was equipped with the same spirit that God had. And I said that was the only reason why this Lamb was able to take the book and open the seal. Because nobody could do it. Why could nobody do it? Because nobody understood the language of the writing. Because they can't see it. If you give me a book now written in French, you don't need to tie it. It is tied already. Hello? Do you need to lock? If you write a book in French, you don't need to padlock it and give it to me. Just give it to me the way it is. It is sealed. How did you seal it? You wrote it in a language I cannot understand. Or I don't understand. Hello? So when you're talking about the seal, when you're talking about, when God tells the prophet, seal the thing, he's not just talking about, it means that without the spirit of wisdom and revelation, people can't access it. Because it's written in a language that you don't know. It's written in a language you don't know. So it was also, he said, no man could read it. Because the language is strange to men. But because the Lamb had the seven horns and the seven eyes, he was, why? Because that means that book was written in the language of God. Not angelic language. Not, it was not Hebrew. Because if it was Hebrew, then John should be able to read the book. Amen. So it means it was written in a language that only God could break. So what I'm saying in essence is that when God says that in that perfect state, we are going to come into a position where we will see face to face, and we are going to be able to know as we are known. It means that what makes God to see, we also must have. And we have seen that it is his eyes. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 4, just to further corroborate this a little bit. Zechariah chapter 4, and verse 1, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep, and said unto me, what fearest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it. Look at it, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and its seven lamps thereon. Seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spoke to the angel that talked me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what this be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, seeth the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel, the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? But they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the what? Eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Now, so even right from the prophet. Now, you understand that what the prophet described here is actually the menorah, is the seven lamps that is in the temple through which the priests are able to see. That's what it describes. And he said those seven, said the seven are actually the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the what? The whole head. Hallelujah. Now, in Revelation chapter 5, we saw the Lamb. And we know who the Lamb is. We know he's Christ. Right? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. Hallelujah. So we know who the Lamb is. It's Christ, and it was as though he was slain, and he was endowed with the seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, which enabled him to be able to take the book and read. In Isaiah chapter 11, let us see what the prophet said about this lion of the tribe of Judah, so that we can compare these things and look at it. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And look at this. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, it talks about the Lamb. This is, now, the person that is being described here is not different. He's not just talking about the Jesus of Nazareth. He's talking about the resurrected Lord. Because Jesus of Nazareth did not read the book. Hello? It wasn't Jesus of Nazareth that read the book. These were things that were given to John to see as part and purpose of God for our full redemption. Amen. And you describe that even the fullness of our redemption. Look, our real redemption began. Well, let me not say our real redemption began. Redemption began from Jesus' earthly work to the cross, but it was perfected. It wasn't perfected until he ascended. Hallelujah. Our redemption was not perfected until he ascended. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself poured our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. When did he pour our sins? When did he pour our sins? It was when he ascended. He said, look at it again now. He said, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself poured our sins. You know that the high priest does, the real purging of sins takes place in the oracle. That is the day of atonement. I don't know if you understand this thing. This is the day of atonement. That is the day that the high priest takes the blood and takes the blood into the most holy place and sprinkle the blood on the atonement cover. And once that is done, it's like God saying that you people are cleared. So Jesus had to take his own blood, not the blood of another. This is in Hebrews chapter 9:10. Jesus took his own blood, went before God, and poured our sins and perfected all that concerns our redemption. And that is why in Hebrews chapter 10, he said that by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are what? That are sanctified. All of these things he did after he rose. Hallelujah. All of these things he did after he rose, and he ascended before God, and all that concerns our redemption were perfected. And so we saw that, take Isaiah 11 again, please. I'm going back to Isaiah chapter 11. So, and the spirit now, okay, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Seven of them. Now what I'm trying to say is this. What I'm trying to explain is this. That evil was shown to us in Revelation chapter 5 is the same person that Isaiah is actually talking about here. And if we agree that the eyes of the Lord that were given to him, the eyes that he had, are the seven spirit of God, then we can also agree that the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear are actually those heights that God was talking about. That is my submission. When we compare both, Paul says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If this is the Lord, if this is Christ, if this is evil that John saw in Revelation chapter 5, and it's the same person that Isaiah is talking about here, and the Bible told us that he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. And we are told here that if this same Lamb, this same Christ, is endowed with seven spirits, then we can conclude that those eyes are actually this spirit that God said the Lamb was carrying. What is my submission? This is my submission. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It asks the seven eyes of God, talking about the spirit of wisdom and understanding or revelation somewhere, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and then the spirit of the Lord, which, thank God, we are talking about kingdom. These are some of the things that we have to bring, we have to talk about these things more. We have to open these things up. My job is not even to open up these things, because I don't even have an in-depth knowledge about what they are. But I feel these are things we should really, because if we are talking about kingdom, we can't but talk about lordship. Hallelujah. We can't but talk about lordship. Lordship is kingdom. We can't say that you are talking about kingdom when you are not a lord. You can't be talking about kingdom when you are not a lord. Because a king is actually a lord. And, you know, like Pastor Daly was saying, that all of these things are just flowing together. Because we know that our kingdom is a priestly kingdom. So if you have spent 1 year to talk about priesthood, and now we are talking, it's part two. This is priesthood part two. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, you discover that. So what is God's true agenda? In Ephesians chapter 1, we saw Paul began to pray for the Ephesian church. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. Why is Paul praying for the Ephesian church to give them? Why did Paul not just impart them? Because somewhere in Romans we saw that he said, I'm coming to you to impart to you some spiritual gifts. But why was he not praying to God and said, God, I'm praying for these people. He said, I bow my knees, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. Because from Isaiah chapter 11, we saw that this spirit of wisdom and understanding was upon the Christ. Hello? Is upon the Christ. And now Paul is praying for the Ephesian church that God will give to them that same, you know, spirit, that God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him. That's simple. In the knowledge of him, he's simply saying that God should give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him. Hallelujah. Meaning that the true knowledge of God is inaccessible outside of the spirit of wisdom and what? And revelation. So meaning that if God give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it means God has given me two of his eyes. I don't think this is... Amen. I don't think it's a serious big deal. That if I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it means that God has equipped me with the capacity to see him to level. Now, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is the spirit that finds out God. Is that not what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We also talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. For as it is written, I have not seen nor yet heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by what? By spirit. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of what? Of God. So if God revealed those things to Paul, it means that the spirit of revelation was at work in his life. Hello? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's like, but God has revealed this thing to us by his spirit. For the spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. But I can't search it out. Why is it that? Why can't I search? So when God said, when the Bible said God is unsearchable, it means that you don't have the apparatus to find him out. But the spirit of God can search him out. Amen. The spirit of God can search him out. What I'm saying in essence is this. So Paul began to pray for them. I'm praying for you that God will give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Foundation. And then when you go to Ephesians chapter 3, you begin to see him praying. I believe that if we sit down well and really look into the epistles, we'll see these things there. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might, by what? By spirit. To be strengthened with what? By spirit. So here he's talking about the spirit of might. Now, it is still the Holy Ghost that is finding expression in seven dimensions. How are we not told that there is one God? Eh? But the Bible also says there are three that bear witness in heaven. Till now, many people have not yet been able to understand that. That how could that be possible? Some people say, yeah, when you get to heaven, you meet only one person. I don't think so. Because when the son was here, the father was there. Hello? And the Holy Ghost came like a dove and lighted upon the son. You think when the son was here, heaven was empty? Hello? Is that the situation of things? Was heaven empty? Was there nobody in control of things here? Was it Michael that was controlling affairs over there? Why the son was there? He said, these three are one. That is, in essence, in strength, in power, they are one, but they are not one entity. It's not an entity. But when you can't, so, but when you look at the three, you say that, are these three chairs, are they not one? Hello? When you remove this, how many seats are here? Eh? Are they one? They are one, meaning that they are the same. But when you bring this one, how many types of chairs are here? Two. Amen. This and this are not the same. They are different. That is why he said, I will not share my glory with another. But when I put my image in you, you will also carry my glory. So if you are like us, you can bear our glory. Hallelujah. That is even by the way. That's not what I even wanted to talk about. Hey, let me round up. My time is almost... I think I should just close here. Let me round up what I'm trying to say in essence. What I'm trying to say in essence is this. I believe when Paul says that, he said, Now, he said we prophesy in part. We know in part. He said a point is going to come that, you know, prophetic dimension, all of those things are going to cease. But when the prophet is come, he said we won't need all those things. He said when the prophet is come, we won't need all those, even the prophetic and all of those. Now, this is my submission. I believe the prophet was talking about was actually the seven. What do I mean by the seven? It means that we come to a point where the seven eyes of God are operational in us. We leave those dimensions. Because this is a dimension of complete knowing. He who has the seven eyes of God knows all that God knows. The only thing that can separate between you and God is that God keeps part of his equipment from you. If he can give it to you. Now, if he did it with the lamb. Now, this was why I spent time to show us that the lamb was not just having another spirit. The lamb was actually carrying the seven spirits of God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. And we saw it that Paul, if we didn't see Paul praying for the Ephesian church, even in was it Philippians or Colossians, he was praying for them that he said, I pray for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all what? Wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. He was still talking about the spirit of wisdom and what? And revelation. And then in chapter 3 of Ephesians, we saw that he talked about the spirit of might. Even though he didn't say this, he said, but I pray for you that you'll be strengthened with might by his spirit in what? In the inner man. He's still talking about the Holy Ghost that is strengthening them by, you know, with might. It is still the operation of the spirit of might. Talks about the spirit of counsel, talks about the spirit of knowledge, talks about the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and then the spirit of the Lord. Now, of course, one thing I don't, you know, as we study, there are a lot of things that, but at least we know that part of God's plan for us, if God had an intention that the Ephesian church will have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, then it means that it is still part of God's plan that we have what? The spirit of wisdom and what? And revelation. And he used the word epignosis. He said, in the knowledge of him. Epignosis is full, complete, clear, concise knowledge. It's not in part. In the complete and entire knowledge of him. That was the essence of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So God wants us to have those eyes. And when those eyes are fully operational in the church, hello, we are in the oracle. We are past. And don't forget, I showed us then too, that the intention of God is not that the holy place continue to exist. It's that the holy place will collapse into the most holy. We saw that then too. I don't want to go over these things again. We saw it. If you were here, you remember that we explained it. That the plan of God is that after a while, when the holy place has done its job, the fullness of it will collapse in the most holy place where God is clear and God is naked. These things are there. In 1 John chapter 3, he said, 1 John chapter 3, give us verse, is it verse 2? Give us verse 2. 1 John 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall what? See him. Not with these eyes. You can't see him as he is with this. Hello? Why are we not seeing him as he is now? Is that not what Paul said? He said, then I will know as I also. What? So, meaning now, I'm not seeing him as he is. He said, for then I shall see him. He said, for when he shall appear, oh my God, how will he appear? Listen to me. He will never appear to all. He will only appear to those who have what it takes to see him. What? Now, you think people are not seeing God now? Some people are seeing God. Yes, sometimes. All, see, a prophet will step into this place now and begin to talk about the prophetic The spiritual dimension, yes, sir. And yet many of us are here and we are not seeing anything. Even right now, there are appearances that are also eating to me. Psalm 9 verse 28. Hebrews 9 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Did he say? See, we need to understand there is difference between this and all eyes shall see him. We model these things together. It is beyond the coming with the cloud. All eyes shall see him. But this is not all eyes shall see him. Look at what he says. He said, unto them that look for him shall he what? Appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This is not a general appearing. This is a spiritual appearing that only those that have eyes will see. He didn't say he's going to appear to all. He said, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin. But we know that there is an appearing that all eyes will see him. At that point, it's already too late. That's not when I want to see him. Because there is a spiritual appearance. He said, when he shall appear, we shall what? We shall see him as what? How will he appear? He will equip us to see him. When he said, when he shall appear, meaning when he will become evident, when he will become plain. How is it going to become plain? Listen, you know that even now, as the angels are before God, yet God is hidden from them. Even though they behold him, they look at him, yet they cannot explain him. They don't know where he's going. They don't understand the fullness of his counsel and his purposes. Even though Jesus Christ was here and he was going out with the Jews, with the 12, and yet they did not still understand Israel. In fact, they did not understand him. Why? Because he was eaten. So what am I saying in essence is this, that for me, I believe, when Paul said, when the prophet is come, then we shall see him as he is. He's actually talking about the dimension of an operation in the seven eyes, the seven spirits of God. When we come into this place, everything is clear, everything is plain, everything is evident. I don't think it is something that God doesn't want us to come into. If Paul prayed for the Ephesian church to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and he prayed that God will strengthen them with might, then I also know that the rest is also God's agenda. We cannot pray in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is higher than just being prophet.
Just the part. Is the entire, not just the little. I empty myself for this purpose. I gave all of myself so that you can have all of me. It is for you. I made myself available. Oftentimes, men were blind. Men could not see. Men could not understand. Even though in the days of my appearance, they have not known. When I speak, they have not heard. When I beckon, they have not yielded. It is all of myself, so that you can come unto all of me. And when you come unto all of me, then you will know. Even as I have known you, says the Spirit of God.
Can we just talk to the Holy Spirit, talk to God and...
Yes, sir.
It's the voice of the oracle. It's the thundering of the heaven, the breaking of the seal, the beckoning of men to come. Yes, you are the oracle, but you have not identified what oracle is all about. There's a revelation of oracle. More of oracle will be revealed. More of the truth shall come to you. Embrace the truth. You shall live as oracle. You will become the oracle. You will live the life of the oracle. The ons is the ons of the beginning. The same on which I gave unto Moses. The same on which Aaron inherited from me. Is the same on which I am giving now. Yes, it is a gradual process. It is a progressive one. I gave it to Joshua. Joshua did great work. I gave it to Moses. Moses did great work. When David came, it was a new spirit. It was a new spirit. That servant spirit of mine that was made revealed unto him, that made him to do mighty works even in his day. But not more than what I gave unto him is what I have given unto you. I bid you come to partake of what the meal that I have given unto the church.
Right.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.